it's a big responsibility. I think it means leading from the front. It means more than just football. I think football is a small side of it, but it's about building a culture and driving that culture. It's getting trust within the boys and around the whole organisation, not just the team. I thought, you know, as far as leadership goes, I knew I had the quality of that, and you know, I'm truly honoured to, you know, the boys thought of me in that way, and our coaching staff and our board and executives thought of me in that way to lead the club as a captain. So it is truly humbling, and you know, it's something I'm going to put my best foot forward and do the best job I can do. We're under pressure every week. We want to perform. As far as finals go, you know, I think it's mediocre these days. For some reason, our club's been bogged down and just getting finals all the time. You know, we really want to be 1, 2, 3, or 4. We want to be up there. That's our goal. We want to get deep in the finals. We don't want to just make the finals. So we've set some high standards for ourselves. We're driving, you know, a strong culture and strong standards. You know, we're going to really hold each other accountable this year.
Nice positive attitude there from Moses Mbai, the newly appointed West Tigers coach. I love the way that he had to contemplate whether taking the gig on or not. Didn't absolutely jump at it. Got 3 kids at home. Thought he had enough decision-making and responsibility without taking on another 25 kids at the West Tigers. But anyway, good luck to Moses Mbai. Looks to be a really good choice. And that's the fresh eyes, isn't it, of a Michael Maguire. Wondering now whether Michael Maguire is sinking. I don't know whether I told Moses that we were aiming for that top four and we'll public declare we're going to be a top four side. But
Deep into the semi-finals.
Deep into the semi-finals. That's the attitude you want. And that's what they should be saying. I'm just wondering whether that's going to be the case. TK and Jimmy Smith up until 9 o'clock. Glad to say we're joined by Dean Ritchie, Bulldog, from the Daily Telegraph. Hello, Bulldog.
Yeah, good morning, TK. Good morning, Jimmy. Nice to have someone in the chair who's a bit considered, unlike our other friend who's in Melbourne.
Oh, hang on a minute. Now, you and Loz are great mates, so you can't be taking pot shots at him.
Well, I can. Do you think he wouldn't do it to me if I was interstate?
No, he would.
Thank you.
Actually, that's a fair point.
Would. The Tigers are quite enthralling. We've got a bit of a poll up at the moment. Moses Mbai announced there, Dean is the skipper going forward, aiming for the top four. But the dilemma over the number 6 jumper, is it going to be a Josh Reynolds? Is it going to be a Benji Marshall?
The mail I'm hearing out of Concord, TK, is he will start with Josh Reynolds. I guess if you're a coach, you could argue, though, that Reynolds could give you more benefit coming off the bench. Okay. That might actually give you a more rounded side. But as you said, Tico, I heard you on the way in here today, Grubb Reynolds wants the number 6 jersey. And as an elite player who's on big money, he should have it, particularly after missing most of last season through injury. He will start with Reynolds, I've got no doubt. As for the captaincy, Moses Mbai is a terrific young bloke. He really is. There's so many scallywags in rugby league, but Moses is one of the real good guys. I'm a bit surprised, though. I thought he might have gone with Luke Brooks.
Maybe he thinks he's got enough on his plate running the show on the field. Luke Brooks, coming off a really good year, by the way.
Outstanding year,
Luke Brooks,
wasn't he?
It'd be really good to see him build on that good year from last year, this year. In saying all that, you know, they've got you say he's had a good year, but no finals footy. So you want to be playing finals footy.
We're talking halves with the West Tigers, but it's really interesting, this game on Friday at Parramatta. Look, we're all going to be watching the Indigenous versus Maori game, but the other game that's being played, Dylan Brown coming into the halves. Outstanding reputation thus far, big step up to NRL, Dino. What are you hearing?
Yeah, probably what you're hearing, Jimmy, that this kid is on the rise. Mm. This is the first chance Brad Arthur has to watch him and Mitchell Moses to gel and to find out what kind of chemistry that they have. It's a 7 o'clock kickoff at St Mary's Stadium, Parramatta versus the Raiders. Look, the Raiders are saying that they're just going to throw in a few fringe players. Ricky Stewart wants to work toward a trial 2 weeks later against Canterbury in Bega. So Ricky won't take this trial that seriously. However, Brad Arthur has thrown in Gutherson, Moses, Jennings, Paulo, Sean Lane, and of course Dylan Brown. So Brad Arthur really putting a lot of stock into this trial, and you know, he's under the pump, Brad Arthur. I think of all the coaches this year, Brad Arthur is under the most pressure.
You spoke to him for your article, by the way. Just about, you've done a Ray Thomas, just about written the newspaper today, and as you say, quantity. We haven't delved into the quality.
No, I said quality, Jimmy. You misheard the last
your
bit.
Quantity with it.
Quality.
Have you noticed a change in Brad? Do you feel like he is feeling the pressure?
It's difficult to play quasi-psychologist, but I'll give him a rap. I really enjoy Brad Arthur.
Yeah.
He steps up every time. He never ducks. He never weaves. He fronts up when he's under pressure. He's a coach who'll go on the record, not other coaches who want a message out there but don't want to be quoted.
Mm.
He's a man's man. That's how I like to put him. He's got 12 months left. I'm concerned, though, if they get off to a bad start, Parramatta, you know, obviously his job is in some doubt.
And that's the problem. I mean, the great thing that Parramatta's got, and whenever you speak to anyone from the club, is can't wait to get to the new stadium. The new stadium's going to be fantastic. The problem is Brad Arthur's got to make sure he gets to that new stadium.
There are rumours around, and let me just stress, they are purely rumours that Jimmy Dimmick and Trent Barrett are sort of hovering around, not so much from their point of view, but from the club's point of view. I think he's got 6 to 8 weeks, Brad Arthur. If they get off to a poor start...
And they're away from home.
Look, you look at their roster. Are they a top eight side? I don't think they are. I don't think Brad Arthur's got the cattle to get him the top eight. That's not being detrimental to his coaching ability. I'm just concerned they don't have the cattle to get there. And that might, in the end, lead to his demise.
Well, I think they're a major wooden spoon contender.
Yeah,
well, they are on the tab.
I really do. And you wrote the story yesterday. And the three sides. Of those three sides, I agree with you. Well, I agree with the tab. The Bulldogs. Yes. Parramatta, yes. No, I don't think Manly. Manly have just got too many good players. I can't believe that the tab have rated them where they have.
You know what Dez is like. You know what Dez is like. He's loving it. He's said to me quietly a few times, and he said he's really, really confident. He says they're on the right path. They're in a great frame of mind. Training has been exceptional. However, Jimmy, 16 coaches say the same thing at this time of year. Everyone's in a great position.
It's an unfortunate story we've got to talk about, but yesterday, Dragons superstar and Origin superstar for New South Wales, Jack DeBellin, he's going to appear the next time in court. That's going to be April 17, but he's been granted new bail conditions, which means he's going to actually be able to travel away. He's got to appear at local police twice, check in twice a week, but he's going to be able to travel away for interstate games or out-of-town games there. But he's facing these serious sexual assault charges, aggravated sexual assault. He pleads not guilty, by the way, yesterday. There's been a deafening roar about he should be stood down by the Dragons, he should be stood down by the National Rugby League. But quite clearly, that presumption of innocence, some people scoff at it, but it is one of the cornerstones of the justice system. So I think, it's only a personal opinion that at this stage, after pleading not guilty, he's free to play, although it's a terrible look for the game having a person under these sorts of charges jogging out every week.
Well, the allegations were repulsive, weren't they? Let's be honest. Yeah, they were very, very serious. But you can't find people guilty based on allegations. We have to go through the process here. And the NRL went down this same path 10 years ago, almost to the day, with Brett Stewart.
Yeah, how'd that turn out?
He was stood down and he was found not guilty. So obviously it's a very difficult situation. There's a lot of emotion in it. You just can't punish people, though, because at the moment, Jimmy, he's currently innocent.
Yeah, it is a really difficult one. It's so distressing for everyone involved. Everyone involved.
Yeah,
Then you're going to ask this guy, and so let's take aside the alleged victim and what she's been going through. Let's put that to one side. But now you're going to ask Jack DeBellin to play State of Origin level football when he's got this not in the background, in the foreground. I'm a strong believer in that, Dino. He should be allowed to play. And then Wally Mason, who's a colleague of yours, wrote in The Australian, he's the sports editor, and this is the thing that pulled me up. In corporate Australia, for instance, a senior executive facing such serious charges would certainly be stood down until he had faced court. Well, and I think that's exactly right.
Well, no, that wouldn't always be the case.
Or I would think on a charge as serious as this, an executive would remove himself from the workplace, or herself, from the workplace until they had cleared their name. So... It's not easy, though, isn't it, Jimmy?
Every workplace could be different in how they want to prejudge people. All I'm saying is, and Jimmy, you're right, let's please not forget the young lady involved in this.
Absolutely.
And none of us are.
No.
But you can't be found guilty before a court verdict. The question I want to ask, if he is stood down and he's found not guilty, would he have grounds to take legal action against the NRL?
You'd find law firms lining up for him.
Yes.
Yeah, they'd be queuing up, knocking down his door. Because the damage is immeasurable.
Yeah.
To that career of Jack DeBar. By the way, the Brett Stewart one, the league will always say we didn't stand him down for those assault charges against the lady at the time. We stood him down for other misdemeanors at the time, but you know what I mean. It was all smoke.
Pre-season
launch. Can all be smoke and mirror. What about Michael Ennis? Can you believe this? What about our old mate Ricky Stewart? He must be getting soft in his old age, Ricky. That's the news in the last 24 hours. Michael Ennis, who mocked the Canberra Raiders fans, the faithful down there back in 2016 with the mocking of the Viking clap, which is a great innovation, I reckon. And they're all kissed and made up, and Michael Ennis is going to be the ruck and attack coach down there with Ricky.
Maybe we should try and get Ricky back on the program. He hasn't been on since TK and I interviewed him in, I think it was early 2015.
The good thing about Ricky is you know he won't hold a grudge.
Well, this is the Mick Innes thing. I'm like, oh, hang on a minute. I might make contact with Ricky and try and clear the air.
I spoke to Rick 2 days ago, and he half tipped me off. He said, it's Ennis, but look, just keep it to yourself for now. And I respected that because known Ricky a long time. I said, I thought you hated him. He said, not anymore.
No. What round are we talking now? It depends how we go. Mick Innes is a fine football brain, and he's going to be involved there as well. So, Indigenous Maori All-Stars, we've got to talk some positives about rugby league, and this certainly match. I know it's not everyone's cup of tea. But
who's?
Geez,
who's
not,
who's well, cup you know, of tea, isn't it?
Well, it's an exhibition game, right? So,
but, no, it's not. It actually means more than
but
that.
But, geez, they do a lot of it's about what happens off the field, really, for this week. And they've been doing a lot of – the image is coming out of camp. We're going to be there on tomorrow morning and Friday morning. It's significant, isn't it? I mean, we've seen players so happy to be involved in this, you know, like getting an Origin or a kangaroo jumper.
I spoke to the coach with the big nose yesterday. You know who that is. And he made a really good point. He said, look, it's been a wonderful camp. But the players have been on the go right from the start.
Yeah.
Literally, he said, we got up early, and even at 7 o'clock last night, they were working on their war cry.
Yeah.
But there's
yeah.
been visits to schools, there's been promotions, it's there's been stuff, sponsors' yeah. visits. But it was almost to the point where there wasn't a lot of time to actually think about the game. So
two training sessions, Dean, that's all they got.
Correct. Yeah. There is that fine line, isn't there? Yes, let's promote the game. Let's really get it out there, Maoris and Indigenous, enjoy the occasion, enjoy the culture, but you can't have that to the detriment of the actual game itself, because if the game ends up being poor, then there may not be a game in a year or two time.
And that's the thing. How is it? Do we look at things and go, are we expecting a high-quality game? Now, what's a high-quality game? Oh, no errors, no attack, great defence. You know, we want to see... I want to see 36-34 in a thriller.
I think it will be, won't it?
I think it will be. I think Laurie's going to move a few players around in positions. He doesn't have a lot of forwards, not that he would ever concede that, but I think you'll find a few outside backs might have to move into the back row here and there. Yeah, so I think you're going to find it'll be a bit of an open game, and I'm certain the Maoris will play that same style.
Pretty good combined team if you've got the two of them together, that forward pack from the Maoris backs. And the back line, and you know, of the Indigenous side. I think it is important that we do the good work off the football field anyway. Let's hope the game is, gets the tick from the general public, but the work in the background is certainly worthwhile as far as the league's concerned.
Speaking to Frank Pulitua, he said the walk-ups are always really good for this game. So the pre-sales, not great, but the walk-ups are always really good.
You think of the base of the Melbourne Storm crowd, Jimmy.
Yes.
You know, and that Maori background there, and the base of the crowd. Let's hope those, and I'm sure Melbourne would do a good job there.
And they'll get visitors too. They'll get visitors to the area to watch those sides in action. The other thing, Dino, is this, and finding the balance between what these guys have done this week and then they have to play a game of footy, compared to what we've seen led by Wayne Bennett at the South Sydney Rabbitohs, and I don't know where you stand on this, but I'm going to make a presumption that it's, yes, we need more access to players, and the fact that they want to turn it off. And your mate Dez is one of the best at it.
Well, I think Buzz Rothfield wrote in his column, and I think it was Canterbury, certainly was one, and possibly Parramatta, that they want to pull back. Look, I can't get it. Jimmy, I work in the media, and my brain, for better or worse, is a journo's brain. So I'm always thinking exposure, I'm thinking the game, I'm thinking how we can grow the game, because in my eyes, it's been stagnant in many areas for many years now. So I just can't work out the logic in trying to pull the players away from the media. Hence, pull the players away from the punters.
Well, the coaches
and the
shouldn't
fans.
Say. That's the thing.
I'll disagree with you. It hasn't been stagnant because they've increased television ratings.
I meant more crowds.
Crowds, yes, stagnant in a really tough market. But can you be overexposed? Like, can you talk about a home game you've got coming up or even an away game you've got against a neighbour too much?
No,
and
no.
I don't think you can.
No. Not in a town, Jimmy, like Sydney, where you've got 9 teams.
Correct.
Everyone is scrambling for coverage, for sponsorship, for marketing, for membership. I can't believe that any club in Sydney... Sydney'd have to be the hottest market in the world when you think about all the professional
hardest
teams.
No doubt about that.
Even in America, you go, then there's one NFL team, maybe one baseball, one basketball.
Yeah. Hmm.
We've got 9 NRL, A-League, Super Rugby, so on.
Texas has got a similar population to Australia, and they have 12 professional sports teams. In Australia, there's over 80.
We'd have 20, 25 in Sydney alone. And yet here are these people trying to pull back the exposure.
Yeah.
Get it through your brains, guys. It's not working. We've got to be proactive and keep pushing forward.
You can never be accused of lack of exposure because you do love the exposure. So we do thank you for coming on this morning.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thanks, DK. Thanks, Jimmy.